Cruising down the street, I wonder where this road would lead. So many possibilities. Care to share what you think? Oh, new dolls, what do you see? Backroad Odyssey.
The time we keep. Clockmakers reject Henry Ford. What do you do with your time? Tell me, is your time money? A thing to pass, to cherish, to waste, to spend? Not that long ago, two brothers knew what to do with their time, which is good because time is everywhere and everything. Until it's not. A vast collection of hand-carved, impossibly detailed, seemingly priceless wooden clocks rests around you. Never sold or bought, you're told. Only collected. Some of them feet taller than yourself. One question plagues your mind as you observe the intricate patterns carved into the old wood. How did these get here? Since the 1920s, the curious among us have journeyed to Spillville, Iowa, to view the peculiar creations of the Beely brothers. Inside an unassuming brick building on Main Street lies a room of impossibly hand-carved wooden clocks, appropriately named the Beely Clocks. These farming brothers were offered millions for just one of these clocks, leaving modern admirers to ask simply, why? To find out both how and why, let's turn back the clock. We enter a time of deep change in America, economically, culturally, and technologically. This shift is most evident on each coast, but the rapid march of progress bleeds unceasingly, however slowly, into rural America. It's now a fact of life, from Iowa to Los Angeles to New York, that the passage of time is inexplicably linked to the progression of society. This is the world met by the Beely brothers. In 1880 and 1884, respectively, Joseph and Frank Beely are born to Bohemian immigrants on a farm just 4 miles north of the small town of Spillville, Iowa. A circumstance, I'll add, and way of life that stands in stark contrast with the rapid growth of Gilded Age America. For some reference, the town's population is only 300, so life is slow. The brothers work the 184-acre farm dutifully with their father. Summers bring harvest, which means a lot of work. Winters, well, bring the absence of that work. So naturally, the brothers ask themselves, what do we do? Time is money, Benjamin Franklin. Time is not money, Mr. Franklin. When it's winter, you're on a farm, you're a kid, and you have days free. And where most kids would doodle on paper, the brothers promptly doodled on wood, forsaking pencils for knives and makeshift tools. Manager at the Beely Clock Museum, Shirley, speaks on this.
They were just always interested in carving any piece of wood they could get their hands on. When I do a tour, I like to tell people, as young boys, they were often sent on the field to bring the cows home, but they wouldn't be coming home, so the father would have to go look for them, and the boys were out there carving up a fence post they found out in the fields. They only had a fifth grade education, so they went to country school. So after the end of their fifth grade, no other student would sit at that desk, so the teacher had to set it aside. And then years down the road, when they were selling off all the old items from the country schools, they asked Frank, well, you want your old desk back? Because we know this is your desk.
Generally, it's best practice to distance wooden desks from a serial child wood carver. Frank's intricately carved desk would go down in history as the school's least desired seat. It's natural to wonder, And I bet you're wondering, as I was, how do you go from carving an elementary school desk to making a masterfully intricate, operational, grandiose, one-of-a-kind clock? The story actually is simpler than you'd imagine.
A neighbor of theirs had carved a clock, and the neighbor did not know how to put the mechanical parts of the clock into the clock. So they brought it over to the Beely farm, which right across the gravel road. When they saw this hand-carved clock that their neighbor did, they said, well, this kind of looks interesting. Maybe we could do it ourselves. And so they went and they ordered a pattern from a catalog. The year was 1913, and so that's basically how they started. You know, they started with a pattern. Then after that, they started doing their own design work. So it was just, you know, a little hobby that they wanted to do.
I had no time to hate because the grave would hinder me. And life was not so ample I could finish enmity. Nor had I a time to love. But since some industry might be, the little toil of love, I thought, was large enough for me. Emily Dickinson. What was first curiosity became hobby and later shifted into art, although I don't think the brothers would approve of that term for their work. But let's, for a moment, get into the details of their clocks and the sheer amount of skill and effort that went into each piece. First off, none of the clocks have nails or screws. Everything is glued together with homemade adhesive. Additionally, many clocks contain operational music boxes and intricately carved moving wooden figurines. But the most interesting aspect of the clocks, in my mind, is that each work has a specific theme and story.
The Pride of Nations clock, standing at an impressive 9.5 feet tall. This clock is intended to represent the many nations and religions of the world. In the center lies a large wooden globe and 35 figures surround it. The Seven Ages of Man from Shakespeare's play, As You Like It, revolve at the top. The bottom panel reads, "A nation shall not lift up a sword against nations. Neither shall they learn war." The Grand Tower clock, carved in 1920 out of hard maple and walnut wood. Intricate patterns line the entirety of the clock. Greyhounds stand guard on either side of the central clock, and Westminster's chimes sound at each quarter hour.
Just gonna chime in real quick. This is a many-leveled clock, and the story of its carving is worth going into, actually. The brothers took their mother's sewing machine one night without permission and made a scroll saw out of it. The first in what would become a long tradition of using stuff that has no business being used for carving, but to great effect, including, but not limited to, dental equipment, machine parts, essentially whatever they could get their hands on. Where there's a will, say the Beely brothers, there is a way.
The American Pioneer History Clock, at over 8 feet tall and 500 pounds, this clock is widely considered to be their masterpiece. The design is a series of 57 amazingly detailed panels representing various events in American history. The very top of the clock is finished with border designs from classical civilizations. Well, American chimes play America, the Four Ages of Man, prayed from their concealment behind the Mayflower panel.
All right, it's this clock, the American Pioneer History Clock, that caught the attention of a certain Henry Ford, who in 1928 offered the brothers $1 million for that one clock. I do not believe a man can ever leave his business. He ought to think of it by day and dream of it by night. Henry Ford. $1 million. When adjusted for inflation from 1928 to 2023, is $17,818,830.41. Two bachelor farmer brothers from Spillville, Iowa, reject one of the most powerful men in America, and a life-changing amount of money. Why? As the brothers' collection grew, its reputation began to precede itself. The public began to show up just to see the clocks. Seeing an opportunity, Anna, their sister, who had less qualms about collecting money, charged people who would come to see the clocks a solid 10 cents each visit. The brothers, however, were often heard apologizing to guests for having to pay admission. Years later, when the farmhouse was torn down, hundreds of dimes were found neatly packed in tobacco cans under the floorboards of Anna's room. Not a dime was spent. In the Beely brothers' will, they gave their entire collection of clocks to the city of Spillville, under one condition, that the clocks were never to be sold or separated in any way. In a time driven by profit, the legacy of the Beely brothers and the clocks they never sold remains priceless. What do you do with your time? Tell me, is your time money? A thing to pass, to cherish, to waste, to spend? Not that long ago, two brothers knew what to do with their time. Do you? Thank you, genuinely, for listening to Backroad Odyssey, where we look for things that are off the beaten path but have significant stories that should be told. If you enjoy that idea, if you enjoy this show, it helps tremendously get this thing off the ground if you rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening now. Join us next week as we investigate the murder of notorious American outlaw Jesse James in the room where it happened. Backroad Odyssey.